All right, good morning. Pastor Paul isn't here today. He's not feeling well. Can we take a moment and pray for him? Please bow our head. Lord, we lift up to you, Pastor Paul, and we continue to pray for his health. Lord, we speak strength to his body. Lord, I pray today as he rests, Lord, that he will be able to recover and recuperate and come back stronger than ever, Lord. So we bless him and Alita. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, we're privileged to have somebody who I literally and figuratively look up to. Come and speak to us today. Really appreciate it. Actually, he got rave reviews from the pastor's class who he took the time and spoke what he's about to teach to us today on as well. He's a man who I remember meeting when I was still a student. You know, a wee young lad. Hindi naman, yung kapatid ko, kid search. But anyway. But we did get to go to St. Petersburg, Russia together, where I did get to meet him a bit more. I saw his faith. I remember he brought his one-year-old child at the time, Nathan, who was such a young boy, 1 year old, into the mission field. That's where I started to see just this man, how he would respond to God and how he would obey. And since that time, he's had a chance to really grow kids' ministry to where we know it today. A lot of what people say about kids' ministry, you close your eyes and you listen to the feedback, you hear Paolo all throughout it. I mean, the rallying cry, whatever it takes, really was a result of Paolo himself, in the trenches, doing whatever it took. And I've seen him been able to grow teams, whether that's volunteer teams. The time when he was a one-man show to have to build a volunteer base. Today, Kids Ministry has one of the largest volunteer bases because of the structures and the systems he's placed in. I've also seen him lead multiple teams from various age groups and specializations, which is really a testimony to the leadership and his ability to stand here and speak to us on this topic. I'm really excited about it. Many times he said this, he's probably going to say it later, no? I'll steal it now. But he says, I'm not the smartest man in the room, I just happen to be assigned to be the leader. And but really, this is a man I'd gladly follow. So can we give a big hand to my senior pastor? To my pastor, Pastor Paolo Bunsalan.
Thanks, Carlos. I'll think of a way to retaliate later. Good morning, everyone. Sorry, I have allergies today. That's why my voice is like this. Yeah. but laging merong ano, may comment. Okay. Anyway, I'm glad Pastor Paul's not here. So. walang pressure. Okay. This morning as we talk about effective team management, I'm excited to share this. I share this at the lead pastor's staff dev. Since then, I've enhanced it so you get a better version. Sorry to the lead pastors. But anyway, just a warm question for today, this morning as we start. I know you love, many of us, if not all of us, love watching movies. And if you talk about team, there are a lot of movies that are team movies, no? And just grab somebody beside you, okay, the one beside you. And what would be a team movie that you, one of your most favorite ones, all right? Why is it your favorite movie? Okay, last 30 seconds. Okay, Gans, what's your answer? And why?
We were discussing Sister Act joke. No, actually, we started out talking about the typical sports movies, okay. You know? We were talking about Major League and Mighty Duck, and then we started moved into, like, Italian Job, Ocean's 11, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Yeah, that's... Okay.
Those are team movies.
We figured that where we're coming from is, like, everyone has their own unique skills and talents, but it takes a leader to be able to tap into those talents and to get them to move together as a team, because you could be really, really good at what you do, but if your leader isn't good at bringing you guys together to move as a team, it's pretty much useless, as what happened in Ocean's 11 and all these other action movies. That are really team movies, if you think about it.
Yeah, they are. Good. Janelle, what was your answer? Okay, all right. Why would that be? Mike na lang. Remember the Titans. Why?
Because I like Denzel Washington.
Okay, and besides that?
He has the most proportioned face daw kasi. Okay. Yung okay. Equal. Sorry.
Okay. Besides anyway. That?
No, just the way he led, whatever. Just the way he led the team. Diba parang there is a problem kasi diba the culture and parang merging of the African-American with the white people and making it work amidst the conflict outside and then making it work in the field. So they came out really strong. It's very inspirational.
One of my favorites too. Sharon, how about you? May pasa na lang yung mga microphone. Do we only have one mic? And okay.
I was talking to Janus and I said, I don't usually remember the movies that I watch. So I said, I think the recent one I watched in HBO was, it was a baseball league with the women where Madonna was still young. Yeah, so I said, I think that's the one I can remember.
Okay.
It was because they're all women, and it was the first time to organize a women's league. So, magulo siya, but then, I guess the leader united them also. And it was amidst, I'm not sure if it was World War or Second World War. Mm. So, it's against that backdrop, and yun, they triumphed over those challenges.
That's good. Great. Okay. The ones that I thought about were, one was Incredibles. Okay, my kids were watching it the other day. They're a unique bunch because they were a family before they were a superhero team, actually. Okay, and the unparalleled sense of trust reflects a pre-existing bond between each of the members. So part of that would be relationship, okay? And then the other one, this was in the 80s, Ghostbusters. You guys remember Ghostbusters? Okay. That's good communication with a great deal of listening and assurance. These four parapsychologists, remember them? They were able to show humor that they trust one another when they successfully defeated the Marshmallow Man. Okay, a sense of trust, that's one. And then the other one was X-Men. Okay, outcast and isolated from society, the mutants learned to trust and depend on each other despite their own differences. The best teams are the ones that have unwavering commitment to one another and their goal. All right. Now, understand that high-performance teams don't just appear. They actually are developed and nurtured. Okay. And we all here are leading a team, whether that's, you know, look at finance or admin or worship services. They are all, you know, it doesn't happen overnight and it doesn't just out of the blue show up. They don't just appear. They are developed and they are nurtured. You know, one of the top executives of Socialcast, okay, it was a simple, secure enterprise microblogging platform. Mike Horton, one of the executives, he was talking about ingredients of effective teams. And he talked about unifying purpose, and you'll have this in your notes, no? Notes. Unifying purpose, good leadership, defined interdependent roles, effective communication, trust and commitment, and then mutual respect. So we'll go through it one by one. First one is unifying purpose. The best teams are united by a common established goal. That's what unifying purpose is. Right? And for us, that's been defined already. Honor God and make disciples. Okay, and we know that. And, you know, this week or 2 weeks ago, a couple of pastors came, one from Moscow, the other one is from Michigan. And I think we're going to have a lot more of that in the next few months because of the book of Pastor Steve, Wiki Church, and Pastor Joey, when that finally gets launched. We'll have a lot of visitors because they want to check out our church. And they were asking, they were so impressed with the laser beam focus with regards to our vision. John Van Dariette and Lonnie Shields, those were the two guys that came. And honor God, make disciples, it's very easy to remember. Easy to remember. And I don't know if you still remember our original one. Anybody remember our original one? Honor God. Honor God by? And advance His kingdom, right? Landon. Yeah, okay. Wow, good. Okay, I'm glad that you remember, okay? But not everybody is able to remember. And it's hard to accomplish what you can't remember. You won't be able to accomplish something that you don't remember. In fact, it's so interesting. I was in Bacolod last week. There was a church now who's beside Pastor Ryan's church. Their vision is glorify God and make disciples. Like, okay, that sounds really familiar. All right. And undergirding these, this vision actually are the foundational sayings. You've heard of Bible and a Passport, one chapter ahead, every nation in our generation, every nation, every campus. And actually this, you know, talk about teams. Ocean's 11 was mentioned earlier. They were able to rob big casinos in Vegas by creating a diverse group, all right, with specialized skills ranging from pickpocket thief to explosives expert, if you remember. All right. Impossible things can be accomplished by bringing together a diverse group with distinct skills aligned to a common goal. All right. And that's what unifies the team, is a unifying purpose. Last Tuesday during our staff meeting, you know, we're going through a Book My Mark corner, but I felt last Tuesday the seven strategic shifts to bring your church through the 21st century, his book. But last Tuesday, we skipped that for a moment, and I felt I wanted to share it from Numbers chapter 16 when it talked about, if you remember the story when Korah and the people wanted to rebel against Moses. And because of that, you know, Moses challenged everybody, okay, if I am not the leader God called me to be, to lead you, then you'll notice that, you know, how did he say that? But towards the end, what happened was the earth swallowed up the people who rebelled against Moses through the earth. And the plague started, and he told Aaron to get an incense. And literally, there were thousands of people who died, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 16. And Aaron stood between the living and the dead. Literally stood between the living and the dead. And last Tuesday, we went back again to why we actually are in ministry. Why has God called us to ministry? That's literally why we're here. It's because we literally stand between the living and the dead spiritually. And, you know, whether that would be in real life, whether that would be in worship services or in the churches or in every nation, or when you go to missions, literally you're standing between the living and the dead. And the unifying, and I've realized that it's the same old boring strokes, honor God, make disciples. But as a team leader, you will need to communicate this unifying purpose in different ways, keep it fresh, so that people, that remains in the hearts of the people. Okay? Communicate the same vision in different ways. Now, number two, it's good leadership. Good leadership. Direction of a group lies heavily on the strength of its leadership. Okay, now we cannot disregard this truth because we all are leading at certain levels. Without leadership, we're going nowhere. All right, and let me give you some of the pillars of good leadership. Number one is vision. Question there is, what does God want us to accomplish? This has to be clear or else we're going nowhere. Concurrently, when the vision is clear, you go at it with much passion, okay? Somebody said this, losing your breath is better than losing your mind. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. The phrase with all your heart means actually being out of breath with passion. That's what it means. When you do something with all your heart, out of breath with passion, which is why, you know, every time you do a project, okay, a good question to ask is, did you lose your breath on this one? Did you actually lose your breath on this one? Okay, too many people are just doing ministry because no one else is doing it. All right? And the job needs to get done. And the question there would be, why are you doing what you're doing if you're not giving it 100%? You're not going to give your 100% there. Okay? Now, talking about passion, number one, passion produces drive. It's the power for your Porsche and the fuel for your Ferrari. All right. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 to 20, 23 to 27, I do this, all this, for the sake of the gospel. Paul goes back to the purpose. It is for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. With passion, we have the enthusiasm for pushing ahead. Okay, when you talk about passion, I think about Manny Moleta last Tuesday when we were, you know, talking about the call that God's given us. I mean, I'm here, I'm in the ministry today because I have a passion for the lost people. And I really just appreciated that. In fact, February, he was reaching out to a lot of the taxi drivers. They had an outreach called, Basta Driver, Jesus Lover. You've seen this before, and if those of you who ride jeepneys, right? Usually Sweet Lover, okay? Pero Jesus Lover. And he thinks of all these different ideas to try to engage the taxi drivers. And now, this coming Victory Weekend, you'll have 12 taxi drivers going to Victory Weekend. In fact, some of them are going through one-to-one now. Okay, we have next picture there. Okay, so very encouraging. All right. In fact, you know, how many of you know it would really be great to see a lot of taxi drivers get saved? Okay, it really it'd be nice to see them saved. And Lynn is nodding her head, okay? Not only that, not only saved, but also preaching the gospel, because they have captured audience, don't they? Okay, while they're driving, they can preach the gospel to the person riding their car, okay? Anyway, it produces drive, and that's what drives Pastor Manny. I appreciate that in him. Number two, passion produces possibilities. Everything is possible for him who believes, Mark chapter 9. God doesn't fit inside our little box of the possible. God will give us something we can't do on our own. Why? If we could accomplish the work with our own resources alone, why would we need God to show up? With a passion that believes in the power of God, the possibilities are endless. A passionate person overcomes difficulties in life, and you probably have seen that in your own life and other people's lives. A passionate person crashes through the quitting points by viewing failure as a stepping stone to success. Okay, somebody said this, you know, even failures, okay, it can only be two things. It can be your stepping stone or your tombstone, right? So, passionate person accepts challenges that push to the limits of endurance. One of my most favorite pastors of all time is a guy named Bill Wilson, all right? He pastors a church of 25,000 children, okay, in New York, right in the Bronx. And he said this: if people don't know what your passion is, then you probably don't have one. I've always tried to remind myself about this. And when we talked about it last Tuesday in our staff meeting, we said that, you know, like I shared, I've been going, you know, besides, of course, you know, I love God. That's the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, is because there's a love for this nation. That's, you know, people have asked me if I wanted to pastor in the States, or, you know, when we would visit the States, my friends would ask me, why don't you just pastor here? I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm called to the Philippines. I know God has something for the Philippines, and I'm not going to go somewhere else. In fact, you know, talking about Bill Wilson, I got to meet him, maybe 5 years ago. He came over and visited the new Smoky Mountain. I know the Smoky Mountain before was destroyed already, but there's a new one. And then three times in the 45-minute ride we were coming from Alabang, going from Alabang to this new Smoky Mountain, three times he cried. And the reason why he would cry is, first, when he would talk about his testimony as a child, how the Lord saved him. All right. Number two was when he talked about, you know, the Smoky Mountain children. You know, today is going to be a different day. It's going to change my life. And he started crying. We weren't even on Smoky Mountain yet. He was already crying. Third, you can almost see passion really oozing out of his ears and, you know, nose and mouth. And then also he talked about the story of Stacy, who was a kid who contracted AIDS at 12 years old because, this was in the Bronx, because her mom, actually she was born with AIDS because her mom passed it on to Stacy. And Stacy would go to kids' church every weekend. And then after every weekend, because he would still drive the bus to this very day. Because what they would do is they would pick up the children, bring them to church. So he would drive the bus, and he'd say hi to Stacy. And one time, he didn't see Stacy anymore and found out that she was already in the hospital, rather. So he visited her, and she was already dying, actually. And she was asked the question, people asked her, you know, what would be one request you would have if, you know, before you die, before you meet Jesus? And people would ask, were probably guessing, you know, Disney World or meet the president or travel around the world. Her answer, 12-year-old Stacy's answer was, I just wish Pastor Bill could baptize me. That was her request. And then she did get baptized. And then after a few weeks after that, she died. Okay, this was Pastor Bill telling me the story. She died. And then when Pastor Bill Wilson visited the hospital, you know, there's a wall right there. There's a hospital bed and there's a wall. And then she had pictures of, she had crayons. She wrote on the wall. And then one statement there was, it said, thank you, Jesus, for loving me. And right when Pastor Bill was sharing this story, he was already in tears and bawling. And I just appreciated the time I had with him because you could see the passion oozing out of him. Number three, passion produces life change. As a result of having passion in your life, you will do things you wouldn't ordinarily do if you were apathetic. Okay? Passion is something we choose. We need to act our way into feeling and not feel our way into acting. You guys know the principle of motion, emotion. All right. There are many times you will not feel like doing what you're doing. All right. If you were a receptionist, you know, on the phone, all right, it doesn't matter how you feel. You know, you'd have to say, good morning. You know, can I help you? If you were a bellhop, you know, no, it doesn't matter how bad your day has been. Okay. And you know, feel your way into or act your way into feeling. In our teams, we would rather have a passionate person, okay, than an intelligent, skillful, yet apathetic person. Okay, it's hard to steer a parked car, navigate a floating boat, or coach an apathetic person. Why? Because they're not moving. It's a choice we need to make every day, okay? Our response is, today is going to be a great day because I'm going to choose to be excited about life and ministry. You know, I was a little, you know, this morning I was under the weather and I was, you know, very sick. I would wake up every so often. But when I stepped into this building, I said, Lord, I'm so thankful I actually get to do what I love to do. I hope that's the situation with every single one of us today. I actually get to do something that I am passionate about, and I get paid for it. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, God, like, I love this. And in our staff last Tuesday, sabi ko sa kanila, you know, will you still do this even if you weren't paid? Will you still do this? Will you still continue to do what you're doing today even if you didn't have a title? Take off the title. Take out the ministry position. Take out, you know, all the things that you have today, because your office table or your, you know, take all of that. Will you still do what you're doing today? That's when you realize it really is a calling. It is not something just, it's not just a job. It is a calling. Okay? You see, the people may not remember the sermon that you preach or the lesson that you've taught or the training you've actually done. Okay? But they will remember who you are. They'll remember your passion. They'll remember, oh, this person I remember, okay, because of his passion for God. Second thing is direction, okay? How does God want us to accomplish the task? Vision is what, direction is how. How does God want us to accomplish the task? If we understand the why, then the how will be easy to discover. As a leader, this is something you and I need to provide, all right? It's like, I guess, you know, when we don't have it here in the Philippines, but you know, when you rent a car in a different nations, they have those cruise control. Or in the States, they buy cars on cruise control. Because, you know, I guess when you go to the freeway, okay, it's 55 or 65 miles an hour, and you go on cruise control. Here, it's hard to go on cruise control because you stop, you go, you stop, you go, because of traffic, right? But as a leader, you can't stay on cruise control, all right? You need to continuously inspire, bring direction, tell people where to go as a leader, okay? How does God want us to accomplish this task? And then in the next one is definition. With whom are we to accomplish the task with? Okay. Mali yata yung nakalagay dyan. With whom are we to accomplish the task with? Okay. Jim Collins talked about this in his book, Good to Great. Okay. Right person on the right bus, in the right seat. Okay. John Maxwell shared this season experiment because he played in a basketball team when he was in college. All right, and his season experiment my coach conducted with our team, he began by telling the first team, which he was a member of, all right, the first five, that he wanted them to scrimmage the second team. So they were going to play against the second team. There was nothing unusual about that, except that all the starters were to play out of position. I'm going to show you why it's important to understand your place and your niche and your position on the team, the coach explained. I had to play center, John Maxwell said, guarded by a 6'7" guy named Doug Roth. Okay, Doug Roth. Needless to say, every time I shot the ball, it came back at me, okay, rather quickly. I don't think I even got the ball to the goal one time, and I know for sure I didn't get any rebounds. Doug got all the rebounds in the first team. Well, we just got slaughtered. Mercifully, the coach stopped the scrimmage after 20 minutes. Are you getting the point, players? He asked. Of the two groups of players, the first team had more athleticism and better skills, he told us. But the second team was victorious because they stayed in position, while the members of the first team were completely out of place. Remember this, he cautioned, talent will never overcome being in the wrong position. I thought that was interesting, okay? Because, you know, the first team had the best team, okay, but the center played, the guard played, the forward played, the, you know, wrong position. But they lost badly because they played out of position. Now, John Wooden, who was a UCLA coach for many, many years, I think they won 12 championships total in the NCAA. During practice sessions, he'd sometimes see one of his players slacking off. When that happened, he'd put his arm around the young man and he would say, now, do you understand that if you are not giving 100% today, you can't make it up for tomorrow? Make it up tomorrow, okay? And he would say, make every day your masterpiece. Henry Ford said, coming together is a beginning, keeping together is progress, and working together is success, okay? Now, just an application question for us, and we'll take a short break at this time. We'll continue in a minute. But if you can rate your leadership from 1 to 10 in terms of vision, direction, and definition, okay, where would you be? You just write it down in your papers, no? In terms of vision, 1 to 10, direction, 1 to 10, definition, 1 to 10, okay? And then talk to the person beside you and say why you rated yourself that way. If you could do that in the next 5 minutes or less. Okay, last 60 seconds. Okay, do one. I'm just interested. Any thoughts, any feedback, any when you were discussing, what were some of the insights that were gathered that you talked about? Krish, anything there?
Jing and I were talking about the mic.
Si Christiana.
The challenge of especially in the perspective of our ministry, it's like the ball game keeps growing bigger. So the challenge is the need for vision, direction, definition has to constantly increase. You can't. Sometimes the temptation is, like I was telling Jing, the temptation is you want to go on cruise control. So you're looking for those stale moments where you can relax so you can plan. But things just keep leveling up one after the other. So you can't stay as a leader and even as a team. You can't stay in your level of direction and definition where you were last year. It always has to go up a notch higher or else. I was telling you, it feels like you were once driving a personal car. Now you're driving a truck behind you. So your driving skills are not matched already with the workload you're carrying. So there's always a tendency you really can't slow down or relax at any point because the stakes are going to get greater as time goes by.
Great. You know, I appreciate what she said because I remember when, in terms of vision, vision's clear. Vision has been set to us by the apostolic team. It's actually just communicating that in different ways so that our people, that gets embedded and gets lodged in there more and more. So I remember when I was in kids' church, I was there for 11 years. Okay, a lot of my stories are there, no? But when I was in kids' church, this was days before blogging, okay? I would email Carlos, remember that? Teacher thoughts. I would send out teacher thoughts. And the reason why I would send that out was because it was really a story about a kid, a story about a mom, a story about somebody whose life got changed. But at the end of it all, at the last part, you know, reaching the next generation to change the world or something. It's always to impart vision, explain vision in a fresh and a different way, maybe through a story. And that's why in your departments, think of ways to actually continuously impart vision, pero in your context, maybe in whether that's stories. Yeah, stories are really, you know, stories are really, really helpful. Very effective. And all the things I say naman, actually, kinuwento na ni Alex Castillo to sa inyo lahat. So, pero it's actually, what I'm doing is I'm putting it in context of where we are today. Okay? Any other thoughts? Myla, okay? Ayaw niyo magtaas na kamay, so tawagin ko na lang kayo. Sige.
For our group, we observe that we are high on vision, and then definition, and the lowest is direction. It's sometimes not naman hard, but yung when we talk to our team, give instructions, we just communicate. This is the big picture, and then the rest do your thing. Yeah, yung going to the nitty gritty. Sometimes it takes effort for us.
Aren't we all good at that? Sige, gawin mo yan, kaya mo yan. Eh, ganun din naman tayo, sinabihan before, di ba? Kaya mo yan. Just do it. You can do it, all right? Well, that's true. And that's what Chris says, eh? The bigger we get, the more defined the roles become, and the more specific the jobs and the tasks have become for all of us, di ba? So, I think, and we'll talk about empowerment later, because there's a balance to that. You know, direction doesn't mean micromanaging. Direction doesn't mean, you know, breathing behind somebody's neck to make sure the job gets done. But, you know, it is important to bring direction. Now, the next one is defined interdependent roles. Defined interdependent roles. Awareness of individual roles and skills contribute to the overall success of the team. The secret to any solid team is a network of interdependent members who each know how important their individual role and skills are to the overall success of the collective group. Okay? When we had that session with Alex Castillo talking about job description, all right, that was very, very helpful. Okay? When people don't know what they're supposed to do, they will end up not doing it. Such a silly statement, but it is a true statement. Okay, I mean, it seems simple. It seems, parang you don't even have to say that. Okay, but it is true. When people don't know what they're supposed to do, they will end up not doing it because they don't know. And I mean, I guess a lot of it is like parenting. When you have kids, if you don't give them the boundaries and you don't give them the direction, you don't tell them this is overstepping already, then they will not do what they're supposed to do. Phil Jackson said this, the strength of the team is in is each individual member, and the strength of each member is the team. And it's here we talked about interdependent roles, and roles and function is different from authority in hierarchy. Right? What do I mean by that? Because a lot of us here play different roles and function. Okay? Now, like for example, in terms of like I think about Asian invasion, okay, tagal na to, no? Or in 2010, maybe, okay? But Asian, no, I was thinking of a time when Robert Hearn was the one in charge. Asian invasion ba si Robert? 07, Ian 07, okay? Ian 07, okay? I was still in kids' church at that time. Ian 07, he was on top of everything, and I was a kids' church coordinator, okay? So in terms of that, I was the one reporting to him. But here at Victory Fort, okay, when did he move to Pioneer? 2008? 07. Alam nyo, ha? Okay. And Pastor Joey was already turning over some responsibilities to me here at the fort. So in terms of the fort and making decisions at the fort, I was the one in charge, but Robert was still here. Okay, so which means, you guys understand, there it's roles and functions. At the fort, I was in charge. At the ENO7, Robert was in charge, and I have to, you know, follow his lead. And here, he had to follow my lead. So, I think again, when you understand roles and function, you're going to be secure. It's not about who's in, you know. It's not about titles. It's not about ministry position. It's okay. This is my role, and this is my function. Okay. You know, one of the best books about team and even leadership was by Lee Cockrell. Disney, what's that book? Creating Magic. That's really helped me a lot when I read that. They have 60,000 cast members. A lot of people. Okay, everyone is a cast member. A cast member is not the one on the stage only. Okay, the one who sweeps, the one who cuts the fries, the one who cooks the fries, the one who cooks the hot dogs. Everyone is a cast member, okay? And he said this. It was interesting he said this. If a job were unimportant, why hire somebody to do it? If a job were unimportant, why hire somebody to do it? In other words, what he says there is everyone in the team is important. And there are roles to play. And if that person who's cutting the fries is not important, why hire him? In other words, he is important because he's important to the overall environment that we're trying to create so that kids would love and think this is really the happiest place on earth. Okay? I remember this story of... this was when we had that Mitsubishi Adventure, okay, our car. And when you have a diesel... you actually have a fuel filter for that diesel, okay? Now, you have to change that, I think, every year, okay? I tried to extend the life of that fuel filter for 2 years, okay? So I was trying to save money. I was trying to, not want to get it done because, you know, whether that's too busy or something. So what happens was because I didn't change the fuel filter, dust and dirt came in the fuel injection pump. All right? And because it went into the fuel injection pump, I remember this clearly because we were on our way to Tagaytay, and that fuel injection pump didn't want to work, so we were running about 20 to 25 kilometers per hour, okay, going up that Santa Rosa, paakyat ng Santa Rosa, 20-25 kilometers per hour only. Okay, that's not very fast, right? So why? Because we would slow down, and every time we would slow down to 20-25 hours, I'll pop the hood, and I'll try to pump that, literally pump that fuel injection. It has a pump. You literally pump that, and then I'd be able to run to 60-70 miles kilometers an hour again. And then after about 2 to 3 kilometers, it slowed down to 20 kilometers an hour again. And then I'd pump it again, and you know, our kids were already frustrated. Ryan, who was about, I think, 3 years old at that time, we're so kawawa. So, he was 3 years old, and he had that vocabulary with him. So anyway, what should have been just a 400 peso fuel filter change became 8,000 pesos recalibration of the whole engine. So I say that because, again, everything, everyone is important. You think that fuel filter is not very important? Surely it is, because one item in that engine affects the whole system, which is why every part of the team is so important, because if one does not work, it affects the whole team. I guess I'm going to go ahead and stop there. What time do we stop? 10 minutes before? 10 minutes before. Ah, 10 o'clock. Okay. All right. Let me see. Sige, let's go ahead and take that, because the next one is a little long. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take a break.